You're listening to RightDivision.com, brought to you by No Side Bible Church.
Brother Doug, amen. You know, we got just a couple of minutes, and you don't ever want to turn a pastor loose with a microphone. It's real dangerous. But I was born and raised in the country, if y'all can't tell. And Leland, if we had, I was born and raised in a little country church. When I say country church, I mean a country church, okay? And if we had this many on a Sunday morning, we got all excited because we had a big group, okay? But I've learned from an early age to praise the Lord no matter what. And I've been around church all my life, and I've seen a lot of churches and a lot of ministries that would gear their preaching or their teaching or their singing based upon the size of the crowd. You understand what I'm saying? But I feel the joy of the Lord here tonight, and y'all are praising the Lord, and y'all are to be commended for that. Amen. Because, see, the joy of the Lord is right here. The joy of the Lord's inside you, and we give Him all glory for that. Let's stand one more time. We're going to sing one more song, and I was going to sing this as a special, but we're going to sing it as a group. And this song was written by a drunk. It was. It was written by Hank Williams Sr. And when he wrote this song, he had no idea that this song was going to be sang in so many churches over the years. And I think it's really neat how that this is kind of one of our flagship songs around here that we sing all the time. I Saw the Light. I love that song. I wandered so aimless, life filled with sin. I wouldn't let my dear Savior in. Then Jesus came like a stranger in the night. Praise the Lord, I saw the light. I saw the light. I saw the light. No more darkness, no more night. Now I'm so happy, no sorrow inside. Praise the Lord, I saw the light. Just like a blind man, I wandered alone. Worries and fears I feared for my own. Then like the blind man that got me back his sight. Praise the Lord, I saw the light. I saw the light, I saw the light. No more darkness, no more night. Now I'm so happy, no sorrow inside. Praise the Lord, I saw the light. I was a fool to wander and stray. Straight is the gate and narrow the way. Traded the wrong for the right. Praise the Lord, I saw the light. I saw the light. I saw the light. No more darkness, no more night. Now I'm so happy, no sorrow inside. Praise the Lord, I saw the light. Oh, I saw the light. I saw the light, no more darkness, no more night. Now I'm so happy, no sorrow inside. Praise the Lord, I saw the light. Amen and amen. You may be seated.
If you have a Bible, and if you don't have one, hold your hand, we'll get you one. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. We're going to start at verse 4. Everybody got a Bible? Need one? Now, you always need a Bible when somebody talks from it, because you never know when they're going to start lying. I'm serious on me. You need to have Bible so you can just double check that. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Paul makes an unusual statement. He said, "For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus whom we have not preached, or if you receive another spirit whom you have not received, or another gospel which you have not accepted, you might well bear with him." Paul introduces the fact that some people preach another Jesus, that some people have another spirit. If you go down now to verse 13, he talks about some local things, and then go to verse 13. He said, "For such are false prophets, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ, and no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers..." Do you realize that Satan's got ministers? He said, "It's no great thing if his ministers be transformed as ministers of righteousness." They impersonate ministers of righteousness. They get up and probably say the right things. But notice, "whose end shall be according to their works." We live in a time that we have a lot of different ideas about who Jesus is. In fact, AA says God is our understanding, and let me rest assured that that has absolutely nothing to do with who God is. God is who he is, and it makes no difference how you and I understand him. It won't change him. Everybody in here has met somebody that when you met them, you really liked them, and after you got to know them, you don't like them anymore. Everybody's in here and met somebody that when you met them, you didn't like them. And after you got to know them, you liked them. Who changed? You or them? We did. We got to know them better. You want to know something about God? Get his book. You might could go to a church and find it out, but the odds are you'll be in the wrong one. You might could go to a minister and find it out, but we found out now that Satan's got ministers, so he might not. But you go to the Word of God, and you will find out who he is. And so tonight, I want to talk about the unknown Jesus that we don't hear anything about. It was John the Baptist who introduced him when he came. First time he saw him, he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world." And Christ came as a lamb. And nobody ever feared him except a religious crowd. And the only reason they feared him is because they're afraid he's going to lose their job. Religion was their job. We got a bunch of folks like that now. It's just a job to them. It's not what they really feel and believe and have based their soul on. It's just a way to make a buck. And you make more bucks if you get more degrees. You know, we've got the MAs and the PhDs. Somebody said, "What does all that mean?" This little country preacher went home, and man, he told me, he said, "I got an MA and a PhD." And one of them old farmers said, "Man, what is that?" Asked another one. He said, "Well," he said, "you know what BS is, don't you?" He said, "Oh yeah, I know what that is." He said, "Well, MA means more about it, and more of the same, and PhD means piled higher and deeper." And that's about the truth. That's some more of them things that's in the Greek, see. Nobody ever says, "Beware of the lamb." You've never seen a sign anywhere that says, "You better be careful of these sheep." Because when we think about sheep, they're docile. And Jesus Christ came to earth as a healer. He gave sight to the blind. He laid his hands on the lame and they walked. He gave hearing to the deaf. He raised the dead. He did the things that people would love him for, and they followed him for, because, and in fact, he told them one time, "The only reason you follow me is because I'm feeding you." He said, you're not following me because you want to worship me. You just follow me because I'm doing miracles and I'm feeding folks. And if you want to make money in the ministry, you go around and promise everybody that God will make them rich. And folks that believe you will help you get rich. One guy said on the TV, he said, you know, he said, I'll tell you what, if you'll send me $100, God will give you $1,000. I was real tempted to write him back and said, if you'll send me $100, God will give you $1,000. Those are the things kind of motivate us. But we saw him totally different. John, the Apostle John, wrote 5 books in the New Testament. He wrote the Gospel of John, one of the greatest books. It's the book that I recommend reading. If you ever start reading the Bible, read the book of John first. It's a world book. It's the book that says, for God so loved the world. First time it's ever mentioned in the Bible. There's 39 books in the Old Testament. And there's 3 before John in the New Testament. And it's the first time that God ever reveals that he loved the world. He revealed that he loved Israel. He revealed that he loved certain people. But it's the first time he ever revealed that he loved the world. It's a world book. So read the Gospel of John. But there you see him as that lovable individual that people spit on, ridiculed, slapped, and he never hit back. They accused him and he never argued with them. And then he gave his life on the cross. He walked for 3.5 years on this earth as a man and took all of the ridicule more than any man. John watched him those 3.5 years. He was close to him. He's the one that he laid on Jesus' chest the night of the Last Supper. In his book, he refers to himself as a disciple that Jesus loved. And then he watched Jesus die on that cruel cross. Blood running down his face from a crown of thorns. Blood running out of his hands and feet from the nails. And then blood running out of his side. In fact, it was there that Jesus gave John the responsibility of his mother, of Mary. And John took that responsibility. John saw him. He wrote 3 little epistles, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John. And there he talked about what Christ would do because he referred to him as the resurrected Christ. John got to see Jesus after he died, after he was resurrected. He saw him walk through a wall. He saw him catch fish without a net. He received his final marching orders from Jesus Christ before Jesus ascended back to heaven. Now I want you to turn with me, if you would, to Revelation chapter 1. Revelation chapter 1. Because that's not the final view of Jesus Christ. I want to introduce you now to the Jesus of today. Let me tell you something. He'll never go back to a cross. The cross is over. He'll never be resurrected again. Resurrection is past. Let me introduce you to the Jesus of 2012. John was on the Isle of Patmos, and God caught him forward to the day of the Lord. And here's what John sees. John, Revelation chapter 1. We're going to start reading at verse 10. He said, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. And what thou seest, write in a book and send it to the 7 churches which are in Asia, unto Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamos, unto Thyatira, and Sardis, and Philadelphia, and unto Laodicea. And I turned to see the voice that spake with me, and behold, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. And in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to his foot, and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. His head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire, and his feet like unto fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace, and his voice is the sound of many waters. And he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was as sun shineth in his strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. He laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, Fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death. Here's the Christ that reigns, that sets in glory tonight. This will be the next one we see. That cross won't be there. We'll see a brilliant sight, Jesus Christ. Because not only was he called the Lamb of God, he was also called the Lion of the tribe of Judah. And notice this. Everything about him here is beautiful. Everything is heavenly. It's pure. It's dazzling. And the symbol that God uses for his word, he said, out of his mouth proceedeth a sharp sword. Over in the book of Hebrews, chapter 4, verse 12, it said, the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing of sunder of the joints and the marrow, and of the thoughts and intents of the heart. The word of God, a sword is a weapon of war. It's not a weapon of peace. It's a weapon of war. And he said, out of his mouth proceedeth a sword that cuts both ways. It's a two-edged sword. I think at times, when I've tried to use that sword, I've done it totally wrong because if you hit it with a cutting edge, you cut some. If you hit it with a flat edge, you just irritate people. And I'm afraid I've just hit it with a flat edge sometimes. That didn't do any damage, speak of. But he noticed him, a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. No more. Our tears running down his cheeks when he said, Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how long have I waited for you? No longer is he having drops of blood running down his face in the Garden of Gethsemane when the very capillaries inside, he was under such pressure that those capillaries ruptured and he sweat great drops of blood. Here is the victor. Here's the King, Lord of Lords, King of Kings, Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. This is what John sees. This is what John would forever see back in his life. John had a lot of memories. John on the Isle of Patmos, and the Bible didn't tell us how John died. There's always some scholar can tell you because they don't know any more about it than me and you. But it doesn't tell us. But I'm going to tell you what John knew in his life. It tells us. He had walked with the Jesus of Galilee in the earthly problems. He'd sat at the feet of the resurrected Jesus as he taught them for 40 days things pertaining to the kingdom of God. But he also, God caught him forward to see Jesus in all his glory. That's the next sight we'll see. Whether we pass away or whether he comes and gets us, that's the next sight we're going to see. No cross, no empty tomb, but a throne. King of kings, Jesus Christ, the victor. Oh, he'll no longer be spit on. He'll no longer be ignored. He'll no longer be ridiculed. We live in a world today that they will even boo God. They will boo Jesus Christ. Even in America, we're living in some strange times. But you know what? And maybe I'm just wishing. Maybe I'm just hoping. But I don't think it'll be long till we get to see this Jesus. Can you imagine? Can you imagine John when he got back? If he ever got off the Isle of Patmos, can you imagine after God had given his vision? Can you think of what he carried around in his mind? The Jesus he got to see. And this is not just one. I'm doing the book of Revelation. We see him three or four times like this. It is amazing. He's the victor. He's the conqueror. And that's why I said earlier, if you know him, you win. It may not look like it. You may be in the fourth quarter of your life and you're losing. But the game's not over. We used to have a saying, we don't say it anymore because it'd be discrimination, but we used to say church ain't over till the fat lady sings. That's the way they finished church service. Let me say, it's not over with yet. That's why America is sports crazy, and whether it be baseball, football, basketball, you don't ever read much about the third quarter score. Because it either goes in the record book as a W or an L. And let me tell you what, if you're Jesus' child tonight, you're going in as a W. We win. Because our Savior wins. Now, you got to come by the way of the cross. I'm not disparaging that at all. In fact, the Bible said that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, you got to come by resurrection. Thou shalt be saved. For with heart, man believeth unto righteousness, with the mouth, confessions made unto salvation. Would you bow your heads with me for a moment? You're here tonight, and you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior. You've never asked Him to save you. You might be a church member. You might have been immersed or sprinkled or you might have had communion, but you've never asked Jesus to save you. We're going to pray in a minute. Would you say, Leland, I've never asked that, but I want you to pray for me. I want to be saved. I want to meet Jesus as my friend, like I've seen him tonight in the book of Revelation. Would you slip your hand up real quick? God bless you. I see your hand. I see yours. Somebody else real quick. God bless you. I see your hand. And I'll begin to put it back down. Now, here's what I want you to do. I want you, as I pray, I just want you as best you know how, because God's not grading anything but your heart, not your words, your heart. Best as you know how, you say, Lord Jesus, I believe you died for me to pay for my sins, and I trust you, and I want you to be my Savior. I believe you died for me, you rose again, you're coming again. Please save me. If you'll pray that, I'll guarantee you this, He'll save you tonight. Would you stand to your feet, head still bowed, eyes still closed, let's pray. Our Father, those that lifted their hand, may they right now turn their hearts, their minds, their lives over to you. Right now. Help them to just call upon your name. You said, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Help them do that now. Father, for others that have gotten a long way from you, and maybe they just needed to be jarred a little bit to realize who you are now, that you are going to be the coming King and Lord of Lords. Help us to see you that way. Now bless this invitation in Christ's name. Amen. As we sing, Brother Doug sings, "Would you come?" He said, "Lord, I'm coming home. Would you come right now?" Say, "I trust Christ." We'll have somebody to talk to you, go over the scripture with you. Come right now. Come on. What's God want you to do? Come on. Come on. Come on. Do what God wants you to do. Come on. We've seen Boo through. Have you done what God wants you to do? One more verse, Brother Doug. No one's comes, we'll be through. Do what God wants you to do. Not what I want you to do. I've wasted many years. Isn't it great that God still take us home? He's saying, come on home. I now repent with bitter tears. Precious Heavenly Father, thank you for meeting with us tonight. Thank you for the good attitude and the good singing, and just, Father, because you met with us. Thank you for doing that. Like Brother Doug said earlier, the size of the crowd is not what's important. It's where you meet with us or not. We thank you. We thank you did that tonight. So, Father, bless your people. Watch over us, protect us through the week. Have your own way in our lives, we pray. In Christ's name. Amen. God bless you. The refreshment bar is open.
His name is wonderful. Jesus, my Lord.
You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions@rightdivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73156. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.